How are you feeling about how things have been going?
I am feeling incredibly good, Jake. This has been a illuminating, eye-opening, ear-opening project.
Your opening is like kind of a horrifying adjective. I'm not sure. Like, it makes me think someone's putting something in there and opening my ear holes up.
Yeah, we're cramming content.
Cramming content directly in your ear holes, brought to you by Folded Frequency.
.com/campaign spotlight. Like and subscribe.
Hey there, dissidents of Dawn.
Welcome to this season's very last flashlight, where we're going to be doing something a little bit different. I'm Production Master Riley.
And I'm Dungeon Inspector Jake. This week, we're interviewing each other about our plans for what we want to do next with Campaign Spotlight.
Let's roll initiative.
Our story begins on a cold and rainy spring night in Seattle. You're at your boyfriend's place, eating nachos and watching Star Trek. The room is warmly lit with LED lighting. To your right is your boyfriend, also eating nachos, also watching Star Trek. To your left is your boyfriend's best friend and longtime roommate, Riley, cuddling a stuffed animal. The Star Trek episode is heavy on nefarious admirals, and you don't feel particularly emotionally invested. You and Riley start talking about all your friends' cool tabletop campaigns and the incredible worlds they build. Riley is a musician and audio producer, and by the end of the evening, the two of you have made plans to start recording a podcast to share those campaigns with the world.
Wow. And here we are. 2 years later?
Yeah, that was almost exactly 2 years ago.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm interested, Jake. You came to me with this concept, and I've, in the back of my mind, always wanted to do a podcast. I have a little bit of like background in like talk radio interview, audio production from college, right, but post-college life. I've always wanted to do something on this scale, and then also knowing that like finding the right like partner to record, I think it's like 15 hours of audio per a season, cut down to like 12 that actually airs, is like a not insubstantial ask.
It's been an undertaking for sure.
But here we are.
Yep.
And yeah, let's get into a little bit of the nitty gritty. Like, how did you come up with this idea?
Yeah. So during COVID lockdown, a lot of my friends started running, or really ramped up running, you know, tabletop campaigns in general. And, you know, I think a lot of us, our social lives largely just shut down at that point. Everyone had just a lot more evenings when you're at home alone. And maybe it also just became, you know, more appealing to do something that just felt comforting and familiar with your friends. Like, there was not only like, you know, we couldn't go out and do things, but also it was a scary time, right? Yeah. Like spring 2020. Like, I remember running a session with like my main campaign at the time, that included Chris and Prim from this season, actually, where we just roleplayed all going for sushi together. Like that, like in game, the characters were all just going for sushi together.
Wow.
And I'm DMing this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that like that was an era when a lot of people just went all in on playing a lot more tabletop games and having these ambitious long-running campaigns. And, you know, I started to hear about the campaigns my friends were running, including some of the people we've had on the show in season one. And I found myself thinking, like, it's kind of incredible that you're putting in all this work and you're really devoting, you know, so many hours every week to build this world and collaboratively tell the story that only like you and no more than half a dozen friends are ever going to see. You're not getting compensated for this in any way. It's all really ephemeral. It's all fully just happening, you know, at that time, just on Zoom or whatever, or on Discord. And,
it's kind of fascinating that we were all doing that and that we all continue to play these games. And also, it would be kind of cool to get to hear about other people's campaigns, because I love, you know, just asking people like, ah, tell me about your campaign. And then they just like go for it and they have so much cool stuff going on. And I just thought it would be cool to have some way to record that. I have no experience. Unlike you, I have no experience at all with audio, right?
Right.
And so my initial plan, and I'm very glad I didn't do this, was to set up a PO box where you could just send ephemera from your campaign.
Like little character sheets.
Exactly.
Like minis.
Yeah. And like it would be, you know, that would be a way to like, we'd have some online gallery that would just show the things people sent in. Just because I was trying to think of a way to be like, oh, everyone's running these fascinating campaigns. How do we share that with the world? And then that's actually a terrible way to do it when you think of it, because what we really wanted to hear from the people who are playing in these worlds.
Yeah, who's going to pay for postage? It's a tough ask.
I mean, that too, yeah.
Oh. That's beautiful.
Well, thank you. I'm really glad we've gotten to do this. I'm so grateful. I think it really helped that we, you know, between the two of us, we did know a lot of people who are just running really cool tabletop campaigns and were able to take the time and come on the show. Like, I think that we've been incredibly lucky with the guests we've had, just having so many cool things to talk about.
I mean, it's kind of wild how like creative and verbose people are. Like for me, I've played like D&D not nearly as much as you have. I don't know of like I don't have the vast knowledge of rules and lore. Like when you're like offhandedly throwing, it's like, oh yeah, the Feywild, and I'm sitting here nodding and smiling and being like, what are they talking about? Do people know what this is? Now I know what the Feywild is. Feeling like I'm learning a ton of stuff on the back end about how like big this world is. It's like it's big in like the stuff that's published like professionally, but then also everybody's own unique spins. Absolutely. On like the different concepts or worlds or characters is really fascinating. It's like nerd level 5,000. What are some of like, so we've heard a bunch of different approaches to playing the game and DMing it. Do you have any techniques or modes that you've incorporated into your own games?
Oh gosh, yeah. No, I think I've really learned a lot from our guests over this season. I think the ones that, you know, in my kind of main long-running campaign, the ones that probably I've incorporated the most are, we talked with Prim about the idea of kind of a mixed success and failure, where it's like you barely clear the DC, and yeah, so things aren't just going to go absolutely perfectly. There's kind of an intermediate zone in there, and I really like that idea. I think it makes the randomness of the game feel more narratively interesting than like unqualified success.
Yeah. Right. Or unqualified failure.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so I've really worked on incorporating that. Chris, the first Chris we talked to in the season, sold me on the idea of a DM PC. I went into that interview being like, oh, you know, I am so skeptical of the idea that the DM would kind of play an ongoing character in the campaign. Chris sold me on the utility of it. And the way you can use it to, you know, make the story more fun for the players and let them do cool things with their action economy. And so, you know, in the current ongoing campaign, we've had a DM PC following the party for a while.
What's their name?
Patrizia.
Patrizia.
Patrizia. And she is a wizard, like a low-level wizard, and is honestly kind of feels like she's in over her head most of the time, which has been a way to make sure that she's not like the front and center character. Obviously, with all the players in this campaign, whom I love dearly, they're all very center stage people. So it's not like a huge problem, but I have, you know, had to make sure that, hey, this is an NPC who is a little bit more like, whoa, this is too much for me. I'm gonna take a step back so that the five like PCs can really, you know, take the step forward whenever possible.
I remember playing a campaign and the DM was playing one of our characters NPC during a battle.
Okay.
And I was playing a bard and had Cloud of Daggers,
yes,
lined up, and there was characters. I was going to put it directly in front of a door to block the enemies from coming through, and the DM, who was playing a barbarian, decided to just run in and block my Cloud of Daggers. And I was like, if I'm not a battle person per se, like I want to do something interesting and cool, and I'd rather do like one or two rolls and not get into like crunchy dynamics like slash, slash, slash over and over again. Or I guess it'd be like strum, strum, strum,
my loot. Yeah.
But in that instance, I found it like frustrating because it wasn't like incorporated at all, or it's just don't get in the way of my fun action I'm trying to do. Does Patricia like are they there to like give extra information or expository dialogue, I guess it'd be expository dialogue in a way that's more like natural in world than you explaining to the table?
Yeah. So first off, I just want to tell anyone listening that Riley, as a player in a campaign, does use spells like Cloud of Daggers or Web or Grease in just incredibly fun ways. Honestly, it's every time we get to play any kind of tabletop game together, whether it's on the show or otherwise, I have a lot of fun. Yeah, I mean, so Patrizia's mostly been there for two reasons. First off, to cast like utility spells and like to kind of buff the player characters when they're in combat.
Gotcha. Are they mostly assault characters? Did you feel like you needed to balance out the party with a buffer character?
I wanted to give them the opportunity to use their scarce action economy on doing cool things.
Gotcha.
Right. If you're sneaking around and finding that suddenly you're going to have to fight someone, it's a lot more satisfying to use your spell slots on, like, you know, things that are happening in initiative or things like that, and maybe have someone else cast invisibility, right?
Yeah.
In addition to, you know, that kind of utility casting, this DMPC is there. Yes, they're making the exposition more natural, but also kind of showing, I guess, what's been happening elsewhere in the world while the players have been on this adventure. One thing that I'm really trying to do a better job of in this campaign than I have in previous ones is remember that the rest of the world is still moving while they're doing their thing. And so having a DMPC that maybe breaks away from the party and then rejoins a week later in game, having done other things, helps them like keep track of what else is happening in the world.
That makes a lot of sense. Any other?
Yeah. So we talked with Jesse about this very ambitious campaign with the multiple parties. And yes, one thing that I really liked from that was this idea that the communications that you have with your players outside of the session can be not necessarily in universe wholly, because like, hey, we need to do scheduling and everything like that, but they can definitely, you know, prompt the players to think about what they're going to be doing in character in the next session and kind of get them excited for it. And so I'm running a series of loosely connected one-shots where, you know, we have a Telegram channel where everyone writes reports on what happened in the last one-shot in character. And these have been very creative. One player is writing them all in Morse code, which is a law. Another one's writing them all in kind of heroic verse. It's been really fun. And I hadn't really thought about doing that until we got the chance to talk with Jesse about like the logistics of running a campaign like his.
Yeah, like it. So you have off time where people can still be engaged with the game,
yeah,
but not at the table, so to speak.
Yeah. Especially because like we're all busy adults,
right?
And you know, it would be great. Personally, I would love it if all my friends kind of stopped having other hobbies, interests, ties to the community, relationships, things like that, and just became like isolated shut-ins who were always available to play these silly games with me. But like, unfortunately, they're not willing to do that for some weird reason. So we need to make the most of the time we have together. And that means that during these kind of off times when we're just communicating about logistics, it's nice to be able to prompt them in advance to like, hey, think about the flavor of what's happening and what we're going to get up to next session.
Yeah, asynchronously.
Exactly that.
May I pitch to you?
Please.
Actual play with all of your friends. Quit your jobs. Campaign Spotlight.
In season one, you know, in addition to all of this production, the work that you've been doing, you and I have played a lot of different games in the Flashlights, ranging from like big sweeping systems like Genesis to like micro games like Radical Catgirl Anarchy to just very different setups like Microscope. Which ones do you think you'd want to play more in the future?
Oh, geez. I definitely want to play like a Microscope, like build out a whole world.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm much more interested in, I guess, play acting and telling a story, again, than crunchy mechanics.
Right.
So I like the idea of having a, like, being able to build out a timeline of your world, right? And then, like, the expansion, like, it can expand out to all of these different places. I guess that's gamified in that way.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I think that's one that I like to do a little bit more of. We should really try to do Dallas fully.
Yeah.
To cringe, maybe.
Yeah, I think we might need to watch the Office episode where they play Dallas.
Oh, right, because they do play it on, like...
Yeah, we also might need to watch Dallas, if we're being honest.
We could watch Dallas.
Do you have any other closing thoughts? Any thoughts?
It's just like a ton of fun meeting new people, making connections, like hearing about all of the ridiculous tables. Like, do we want to tease anything from season two?
I don't know how specific we want to get. I will say, do we want to commit to a launch date?
Oh, geez. I think we got to put it on the books. We got to put it in the calendar.
All right, stick around for the first episode of season two on June 5th, 2024.
Yes. So we're going to be taking a couple weeks off?
6 weeks off, yeah.
6 weeks off? Okay. June 1st.
June 5th.
June 5th.
It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
We always drop on Wednesdays.
We drop on Wednesdays. Consistent.
That's what we're going for.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
yeah, I guess the only other thing that I can't believe that this is a thing that I'm saying. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and leave a rating or review. This helps our, two things. First off, when you subscribe or leave a rating or review, and that means that more people get to see Campaign Spotlight in their search results or whatever. That helps us share our guests' extremely cool campaigns with the world. And like a big part of what we're trying to do here is share those campaigns and share the work that people have put in. And also on a practical level, it helps us find new guests with new interesting games to talk about, which is how we can keep the show going. Because like we're incredibly grateful. We've been able to talk to so many of like our friends and people that we know about their games. But we only know so many people.
Right. We have to cast a wider net.
To keep finding guests. And like, ultimately finding people relies on like playing just these inscrutable algorithms designed by just three or four very large companies, and because that's how information flow is determined in 2024, and playing along with those algorithms means asking all of you to subscribe to the show and leaving a rating or a review if you're up for doing so.
Yeah, we need more content.
I wouldn't put it that way.
To cram into your ears for your listening pleasure.
Riley, no.
We have to feed the algorithm, Jake. We started the engines running and it must keep going. We can't stop now.
It's a horrifying vision of the world.
The world is burning, but we are in my cozy little studio somewhere in Seattle, Washington.
Your studio is extremely cozy, I will say that.
Toiling away.
Toiling away, for sure.
Toiling away, making content. And that's what we do.
I'd really love if we didn't call it content and said that we were like sharing people's campaigns with the world.
Sharing people's campaigns, interviews, radio documentaries.
There we go. I love that.
Audio documentaries.
I mean, that's actually what this is. We're fully documenting people's experience.
It really is. This is a sociological experiment.
I don't think it's an experiment. How is this an experiment? Am I being experimented on right now? By you? Oh, Riley has the most sinister expression right now. Do you want to wrap it up there, maybe?
Yeah, let's...
Thank you all so much for listening.
Yes, that's going to be all for this season.
I've been Dungeon Inspector Jake.
And I'm Production Master Riley.
And we can't wait to show you the next season of The Silly Little Show.
Do you run your own home game? Tell us about a cool homebrew. We might feature it in an upcoming episode.
Give us a call and tell us about it at 724-320-2020. For more on the show, including links to all our social media, visit foldedfrequencies.com/campaignspotlight.
And we're done. We didn't shout out the phone call in any of the...
No, I was going to ask you about that. Do you think we need to anymore? We got no calls ever.